You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Okay, now welcome to You Cannot Be Serious, and in the house today is making his, I hope it's a monthly appearance, we could have it a fortnightly or a three-weekly, but certainly a monthly appearance, is the great Doug Hawkins, games record holder for the VFL when he played for Footscray and played 8,000 games all up. We've got Ivan over here.
Morning.
And we've got Susan Stanley, OAM. So welcome again, Doug, to You Cannot Be Serious.
Morning, Sam.
Now, first, just before we start, we would like to send our condolences out to Kevin Bartlett for the passing of his wife, Denise. I didn't know Denise very well, but I know they were married for 51 or 70, 50, over 50 years. I think 57, is it?
I think you're right, Sam. Yeah,
so I've got that. I should know that if I'm going to do that. And I spoke to Kevin a couple of years ago. Interviewed him out here about him and he and how he met his wife Denise. I know the history of it. So we pass on our condolences to the great Kevin Bartlett and Brett and Rhett. Rhett is his son.
Yep. Where was he working, Sam? Rhett was working with Channel 7?
He was. Fox, he was doing a number of
roles there.
Media involvements. Mm. So, Kevin, all the best, my friend.
Yep. And 57 years is a long time.
Yeah, it's, I've had three or four attempts at it and haven't got even halfway there with that. Anyhow, so that's now what I wanted to ask you, Doug, before we get right into anything else that you might be interested in. Someone said that Collingwood and Brisbane, I think, haven't won a game in the two they've played, and they played off in the grand final, didn't they, last year, and they've written them off. Could you believe you could write a side off after 2 weeks of football?
No, you can't, Sam.
What do you call me?
Sam.
Oh.
Is that your name?
I thought you said you can't.
Here we go.
Oh, you can't.
It's starting already.
I beg your pardon.
It's never happened before, has it, Dougie, in the history of the AFL-VFL?
No, it hasn't, Ivan. No, it hasn't.
Ivan. Pull the microphone down.
Thank you, Sam. No,
that's right.
When you call me Ivan, it doesn't seem right.
You're Ivan, aren't you?
Yeah,
it's Ivan here, isn't it?
Ivan Don Malak. Call him Ivan
Malak. It's not a big rap, that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Don was introduced to in the first...
He looks like him a bit...
He walked in and
stop it.
Dougie...
Don was sitting there, and Ivan, I brought Ivan, and he lives in the same tower block as me, and he walked in, and I said, "This is Paul." He said, "Paul, you look like fucking Ivan Milat." And that was it. And I said, so we call him
and
Ivan.
And it sticks.
So it's actually Paul.
It is.
Paul.
Yeah.
So who do I call him? What do I call
Ivan.
Him, Sam?
Ivan.
I call him Ivan.
Now, Doug.
Now, I'm two games, Ivan and Sue. Two games. How do you judge someone on two games? Seriously, the Bulldogs got absolutely beaten late in the game against Melbourne, and all the people go, "Oh, the Dogs are no good. The Dogs are struggling." What, one game? It's a break.
Usually, halfway through the season, isn't it? That's when they really do the round.
Yeah.
So that really.
Round two means
it's warming
nothing.
Up.
It's warm, 100%.
Well, why have people said they've written? Is that just for effect? Is it just to get a bit of publicity? What is it?
Banter.
Well, I think, Sam, in the history of the game...
Clickbait.
The grand final sides from the year before have never, ever lost two games. Is that
correct?
Sound right?
Yep, you're spot on. That's never, ever happened
before in the history of the game.
VFL, AFL.
They have two previous year grand finalists. They've not lost two in a row at the start of the year.
So that's why they're saying it.
Correct.
I see, so...
Which means nothing, to be honest.
But records are there to be broken anyway. So
they
we'll
are,
see how
they are to be broken and... But it has, Collingwood looked like I have a little bit of a hangover, if you want to call it that, from a premiership. Look a little
too
bit
many late
sluggish.
Nights.
Yeah, they look a bit. Look, they're still celebrating.
They're
running from
still celebrating.
They look sluggish, didn't they?
A bit sluggish. Yeah, a little bit. Just off the mark.
Who did
a little
they
bit.
Play? With maybe the other mob were pretty good.
They played some very good sides, Sam, first up.
Yeah, well, maybe that Sydney? Made them look sluggish. Play?
Sydney?
Sydney, and who's the other one?
What?
I watch the Bulldogs, Sam. I don't watch a lot of other games. I make it my business to watch the Bulldogs if I can't go to the game.
And how are they going?
Dogs.
Yeah, the Dogs.
Melbourne aside,
that sound like you're about to sing a song, then. Are you limbering up to go? Oh,
when no one else can understand me.
Now, Doug. So,
when everything I do is wrong, that's Elvis. But anyway, go.
Well, I quit my job down at the car wash, left my mama a goodbye note. By sundown, I'd left Kingston with my guitar under my coat. I hit. Choked all the way down to Memphis, got a room at the YMCA, and for the next 3 nights I kept hunting them bars, looking for a place to play. I thought my picking would set them on fire, but nobody wanted to hire a guitar man. Now, Doug.
You started
yep.
it.
Yep. So I thought the Dogs, Melbourne have always, since 2021, when they got us in the grand final, in that second half, played in Perth. Yes. And from there on, they've had the wood over the Bulldogs. I don't remember the record totally, but I'm sure they're well in front of us in victories
so
over each other.
Apropos to my first question, how many games have Footscray won this year?
We've had one game and we got beaten by Melbourne and they got us late in the game. It was only two or three goals right through the whole game.
I
actually watched the game. I'm a Bevo man.
Yep.
Who's now been at the club for probably 10 years,
he's
Ivan. I think he coached our flag in 2016, which is now 8 years ago. It's gone quickly. I will maintain me being a Bevo man, but I thought some of the selections that he had made was a little bit strange. Two guys, Harms and the boy Bramall, I don't know a lot about him, Caulfield and the boy Gallagher, and then we had the sub was Caleb Daniel, who I rate probably in our best six players, and I was actually shocked that he was as a sub. And came on and got a stack of the footy.
So this is a small snip at the coach, is it?
I just thought that. This, and at the end of the day, the coach has the final decision on.
But he's a strategic player, isn't he? Really, Bevo. He's really. That's my team.
And he'd have his reasons.
The Western Bulldogs.
Is it?
Yes. Ivan. Did you think it was Geelong? Yeah, I am.
From over in the mines in Perth.
I played in the Little League, State Bank Victoria.
Ivan, did you?
Across the ground or the long way? Which way did you kick the ball in the Little League?
Yeah, from...
wing to wing.
From Barclay Street to...
Correct.
Barclay Street,
to the EJ Witten Grandstand.
Doug. So
now, Sam, going back to the Bulldogs.
Small snip at the coach then.
No, because he knows what he's doing, it's his job and he's done a very, very good job.
But you just
it's a small crack, yes, a small crack. It's a small crack at Bevo. And by the way, Bevo, I do love you dearly. We all love you. And because I love it. I'll be honest here. When he's up against it with his back to the wall, that's when he comes out. He comes out swinging. And I love him when he's like that. I know there's a lot of people.
He'll probably come out swinging now because you've snipped him.
I love you, Bevo. I can't say that again, can I, Sam? Love you, Bevo.
Well, it is early days anyway. It's early days, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, there's a whole number of things that I'd like to speak about, Doug, but I'm trying to find something that you might find.
Can I tell you something about me?
Please.
Now, Sam, I was on a train. I actually work at the Glen Waverley Suburban Rail Loop. As a road traffic controller, a lollipop operator out there. And I actually got on the train at Glen Waverley to finish my job with Argus Traffic, who I work for. Are we allowed to do that or not?
Of course, Argus Traffic, I don't know how we can promote them. How would, by us mentioning Argus Traffic, how would that increase their business? They're going to just hold up some more road signs and stop people driving down a road.
No, everyone wants to be a lollipop man.
$65 an hour and $130 double time. It's good money. Yeah. Making $200 to $250, it's a very simple, not that I'm simple.
Well, I reckon you're pretty simple because you've just given away your whole of your fiscal remuneration from working, holding up a traffic sign. People saying, shit, that's a lot of money. Anyhow, Doug, go ahead.
We have a lot of women, Sam, on job sites now. We have 20 shop stewards who are women.
Yes.
20?
Yeah, we have 20 now,
And
you know CFMEU,
very powerful. And you know why you have women?
Why do we do that?
Because they're probably the best people for the job. This is the meritocracy. You get a job on your merits, not on the quota system, and that's how the world should work, but you'll find it doesn't work like that invariably.
So we we have a lot of girls on the job. Now, I'm out of Glen Waverley, ladies, and so anyway, I'm out there. And
females.
Females. What hit me this day there last week is to help your fellow friend, not friend, or fellow person who is in need or under attack or under pressure or something goes amiss or goes wrong with them.
On the building site?
On the train.
On the train.
I'm coming home on the train. I travel by train because our roads leading from Bacchus Marsh, Melton, the Western Highway, is an absolute disgrace. How the, I'm going to say Andrews government, because that was when it was first put in two lanes. And they knew quite well the development and the growth of Melton, that area, is going to be enormous. And here I am travelling down the highway, 10 miles an hour.
Potholes?
Not that bad there. But just the traffic flow. It is just a lot.
15K.
Yeah, and then to go over the Westgate Bridge to try and get home from Glen Waverley took me 3 hours.
No, it's a disgrace.
And it takes me an hour to get there. Mm. If I leave at 5 o'clock in the morning, I get up at 4:15. That's what I do with this job, to get there. But now I travel by train because it's very simple. Faster. The V-Line comes in from Bacchus Marsh at 5 o'clock. I get in at 10 to 6. I get a connecting flight to Glen...
Flight.
Wow.
a connecting train, which is Metro, at 6:10.
Yep.
And that goes directly through all these suburbs I didn't even know existed. Jordanville, Holmes Glen, no idea about them.
Bit educational.
I'm glad you got a timeline on your life, Doug. At 6:10, you get up. At 6:22, you move to the kitchen. At 27 minutes, I get into the car and start it. And at 7:45, I arrive at the station as the train.
So the train I get to Glen Waverley goes direct, and it's the last stop, Glen Waverley's. And my job is from the last stop where I get off is 200 metres. So I get in at 6:50 and I start at 7. So I go in, put my bag down, put my hard hat on, and I listen to the toolbox meeting.
What?
I listen to...
Yep. Talk to me, Dougie. I know what you're talking about.
Toolbox,
is that a radio show?
Oh, jeez.
No, everyone gets together.
This is the Lang O'Rourke manager, Stewie. He gets up there and he runs through the day activities. A briefing.
What brief do you get? To hold the sign up and instead of turning it around to say slow, it should be stop on the other side. And you've both got slow going one end and the other, and cars are driving at one another, and they say, Doug, you should have stop on your sign. I said, oh, fuck, I'll turn it around then. Now, go ahead.
So anyway, this day last week, I got on that train to go home, and I'm sitting there and...
To go back
to Bacchus Marsh, got on the train
to
Glen
Waverley.
I finished the toolbox I did a day's work, Sam, which went for about 10 hours. I go from 7 o'clock till 5, which is a long day. But again, the monetary is good, and I pay the bills. It pays the bills. We all got to pay bills.
Yep.
So I get this. I get the train home, and I'm sitting there waiting for it to leave. But two scallywags jumped on.
Scallywags.
Two villains.
We're at Glen Waverley.
Glen Waverley.
Two shitheads get on.
Exactly. You use that term, Sam, but I like to treat people equal until proven different, and we'll prove indifferent. Let me tell you. I dislike. This is one of my big dislikes. People putting their feet on chairs. It's just disrespectful.
Yep.
And one of them did that, and I looked at him and I thought,
what do you do?
I thought 30 years ago, when I was 30 and a bit, I would have said, mate, get your feet off that chair.
Yep.
It's just bullshit. And the other bloke had a
gun.
No, we're not that bad.
No, he had a McDonald's latte, and he finished it. And he actually just chucked it on the ground in front of me.
Yep.
So I looked around to see if I had any support in case I was going to say a few things, because I didn't want to fly solo in case I was going to get stabbed. because that's what happens in our society. The days of standing there having a crack, and them days are over.
Were they Caucasians?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes,
good.
They were. And so anyway, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking. Anyway, we hit Mount Waverley, which is two stops from Glen Waverley. We think we have Sydenham and then we have Mount Waverley. This bloke just collapses out of his chair.
One of these
one of the scallywags, right. Not one of the scallywags, but about four chairs down in front of me. Mm. And he's laying half stuck in between two chairs. And he was I can say this, an Indian fellow in his mid-40s, had nice New Balance shoes on and a
red Indian from Delhi or a red Indian from Navajo?
It was from Delhi.
Yep.
And and then Sam, he's collapsed in the middle of this thing. So it's about four or five chairs from me. So I thought I would assume that people around him would pick him up and or help him. No one moved.
What about the scallywags?
The scallywags just sat back there and sort of started giggling. Started laughing. And I thought to myself. So anyway, I got up and I went over and I tried to help this bloke. And the bloke behind me, the scallywag, said, leave him fucking alone. One of the scallywags told me to leave him alone. I said, sorry?
Yeah.
He said, you heard me. Oh. Leave him alone. I said, mate, this bloke might have had a heart attack. I'm going to help him here. He goes, no, mate, he's on heroin, mate. He's a heroin addict. I said, how do you know that? And then he said to me, I said, we're going to stop the train. He said, mate, don't stop the train. I've got a meeting in the city.
Oh. Scallywag.
Scallywag's got a meeting in the city.
For a drug deal.
Probably.
It's just fitting him, Sam.
I'm
helping this Indian guy, and thank Christ.
He was
lady,
conscious
he was,
a bit.
His eyes were wobbling all over. He was all over the shop.
He wasn't on heroin at all.
No. Well, I don't know, Sam. I don't know if it was heroin or he was having a heart attack or whatever
it
was.
He wasn't
speaking.
He didn't see a needle or anything.
No needles, no. Nothing. His phone went over here. I grabbed his phone, put his glasses in his backpack, put him on the ground. This lady come over probably in the mid-late 70s and who was a nurse and said, get him on his side, make sure the airways are clear and all that. And these scallywags...
He
was breathing.
Oh, good.
And, and these scallywags continue to verbal.
Did they?
Fuck off, leave him alone, what are you doing? And all that sort of stuff. And so anyway, one of the girls, I said, you press that button because the next stop, we're going to get someone from Metro to come on to assist it, to give him a chop out. No one come on until we got to Richmond. This is about another six, seven stops. And then when the lady come on from Metro, she said, everything right, something's happened here. The scallywag said, he's only having a sleep, rack off, get off. I've got to go. And she got off. And this hasn't finished yet.
Yeah, no, go
so
on.
We actually get to Flinders Street.
Yep.
And I get off. I get out. This is going to Southern Cross so I can catch my V line. He's still laying in the middle of the thing. Anyway, I look for someone. I can't get him. And the train is going. It's about to go. So I jump back on with this bloke still laying in the middle of the.
Good on you.
So Sam, it gets worse. I get to Southern Cross and I get off. I hold the door to get someone's attention. The train goes. I've got to jump off. So this bloke's laying in the middle, going through the loop, going to Ringwood. So he might have woke up if he'd come good somewhere. But no one helped. We didn't. Nothing was done.
And you don't know.
And I left him stranded. And I felt shit ass about it because I was having a go. But I had.
You were the only one.
What happened to him.
He ended up waking up in Ringwood.
How do you know that?
I made that up. But anyway, I know the train was going there, but he was going nowhere. He was going nowhere.
Was he talking before you got off?
He wasn't. He was still. His eyes were just
flickering.
And that was at Southern Cross. I just felt shit out because I got off and. But what I'm the message is that we people now don't get involved and help because they're scared because. Of being stabbed or being attacked themselves. That's
but
just
as soon as one person goes to help, you'll find another one will, and then there'll be a whole lot of people that would normally help. But to be that first person,
Ivan. That lady, you're right, because that lady come from behind me.
Yep.
She was one chair in front of the two scallywags, the two villains. And she finally got up and then to have them abuse me because I'm trying to help a bloke who I thought had a heart attack was just bullshit. But anyway,
do you want to know the world we live in, Doug? You mentioned about women, 20 women shop stewards, did you? At the
yeah, 20. Yeah, and I said... And that's fine. I've got no problem with that.
No, of course. I said they get their job on their merits. I said that's why they got their job. But to call them, I'll just tell you how where the world's headed. There was a case. There was a case the other day, they said this woman happened, and this woman happened to have something happen to her, and the person took them to task and said, "Don't call them a woman. They are people with vaginas, because it is." Uncomplimentary to trans people who are men who signal as women who like to be called women or vice versa. So you can't call in some aspects in some certain states in America now, you can't call women women. They are now referred to as people with vaginas. That's where you think I make this stuff up.
There
was a court case over. There was a court case and someone was brought to order in court saying, don't assume that is a woman, it's a person with a vagina, because there's that many people transgendering, or there's not that many, but it seems like the whole of the dialogue and the whole of the narrative is about diversity, inclusion and equity, and that's the way this is headed. And I'll just go on with this. You are asked to fund this play. There's a play being. There's a play about to hit the stage here, where it's called. Let me just get it up here. This is what your taxpayer money is going to. Where a woman who has been raped. There's now a play backed by the state government. Where the woman goes on stage and one she is drugged on stage, she is, and once she becomes unconscious, the performers then move her body around, even to the point of inserting a speculum and camera up her vagina, up her minge, so that it gives a live feed to the audience on a television screen, a screen in the audience, so you can see the camera up her vagina, and that is meant to show you the trauma of being raped. If you think that is something that you'd like to go and watch, and how extreme, and your taxpayer money is going to fund bullshit
how
like
much?
That, I don't know.
I know how much.
How much?
$30,000. We're paying for this. State government.
What about a ticket, Sam, to get in? What are they charging to get into this venue?
I have no idea, Doug. I've got a feeling it could be a premium. It could be a huge price. There could be an audience around the block, I reckon, to try to get in to look
stand
at
in room. Why would you want to go watch that? Seriously, that is a load of crap. That
it's called Rise. Sorry? Rise Festival.
It's a Rise Festival, but the play's called The Bride and the Good Night Cinderella.
Oh, is that a load of crap, isn't it? Sam, that's not insane.
No,
why would you go and want to watch that?
That is just bullshit.
It's art. Yeah, they're basing it. They're saying that's art.
You won't want to go there.
So it's about a woman who has been raped, and to pinpoint
the
horrendous act of rape, as if we need to have that pinpointed. This just seems an exploitive piece of nonsense to get people to go and watch something that is obviously. Controversial, and why would you want to see a camera put up someone's vagina and put it on a big... Well, I mean, I can understand plenty of people might want to watch that, but why would you have a play about that and ask taxpayers to fund that up on a screen so that you are highlighting the dramatic occurrence of what rape does to you?
Are you allowed to drug someone on stage? Because like on TV, you're not allowed to drink alcohol, aren't you?
So yeah, apparently no you are. No, she gives consent to take this cocktail of drugs that render her unconscious, and she's given consent for
she's
them to move.
She's actually unconscious,
Fear Nickham. She is, yeah, it's the real deal.
Yep. Yeah.
And the other thing interesting is...
shown at the Melbourne Town Hall.
and this runs for about eight nights.
Where's the gig out?
It's It doesn't start until the 1st of June, I think.
Melbourne Town Hall.
There's all around. There's some other plays in different stadiums, but Melbourne Town Hall. Yes.
So this is what the state government is funding, and this is what the council. So if you think that is then this is who's running the state and who's running the city, then if you like, we have. The climate dribblers, the people who hold up traffic and...
this is why you catch a train and don't drive.
That's right. This is the people who drive trucks up onto the Westgate Bridge and hold up the traffic from people doing an honest day's work in the name of the climate extortionists.
Extinction Rebellion.
Yeah. Extortionists, just dribblers, pieces of snot who just hold up people... from going about their daily jobs. They hold up the traffic in the city on every other day. And I'm saying this is the city we're living in. Why the council or the police or the state government don't go down with a heavy batons and put those people in vans and take them and lock them up for being absolute fucking shitheads. Seriously, why they don't do that? This is the city we're living in at the minute. People who stick cameras up people's vaginas and ask you to go and watch it and you fund that. People who have to put up with the climate change fuckwits holding up people from doing an honest day's work. And then I go up to, drive some people who wanted some photographs taken for their wedding. I was driving them in a car I have because I was doing them a favour. And I go to the King's Domain and they wanted to have their photos taken up in the King's Domain. And the Aboriginal community have an enclave up there. They have got flags and a little office and a fire burning up in the King's Domain in this day of total fire ban, and they are saying they have claimed that as their land. This is happening in, and you think how does the council, who I notice have a voice to council after the yes-no vote was soundly defeated. They're still going on with the yes vote about voice to council for the Indigenous community. How can you take over a tract of land near the botanical gardens and just camp there and light a fire?
Sally
Kapp is in charge of nothing. She has become a complete irrelevancy. I backed
what
Sally
a new Kapp. Woman you.
If I tell you what, I
Darren should've, Hinch is going to have
I
a crack.
I should have gone on with that.
You will make a change. You're making so
I,
much.
I bowed out of.
Why did you jump out, Sam?
I bowed out because the station I work for, here. Channel 7, Channel 7, the station I work for, Channel 9, sent me over to the Masters Golf Tournament on the very day or week that I was to present myself at the council to qualify to be the Lord Mayor. When I couldn't turn up and present myself in person, my candidate tour became redundant because I had to present myself in person. Now, I don't know if the station sent me over there deliberately or not so that I couldn't stand for the mayor, but I then backed Sally Kapp and she sent me a very nice message on my phone, which I still have, saying, thank you for your support. I tell you what, if I'd known that Sally Kapp was going to be as ineffective and subservient to bullshit that goes on with the bike tracks, she went over to a climate change thing over in Japan or something. What Sally Kapp's got to do with climate change has got me buggered. And how you can let Indigenous people take over a tract of land as their own up there while everyone moved. I was asked to go to the world's longest lunch. 4,000 tickets were sold for charity and they had to move their particular area of where the lunch was going to be because these people, our friends, our neighbours, our fellow Australians, had taken over the land and are just living there. How does that happen?
Well, maybe they were hoping to get a feed.
So, Sam, Ivan, Sue, just Sam, I don't want to change tack
I want
totally.
You to.
I want to tell you something to. About what you were just touching on.
Good.
I work out at Glen Waverley. I was sitting there having lunch at Glen Waverley in the main street. I've got to be careful here. Multicultural place. It is. It's a very multicultural place, yeah. Glen Waverley, as is
a melting two. Pot.
Or them.
I'm with you, Doug.
I sat there and I thought, where am I? Where am I?
Yeah, it's an enclave for immigrants.
We're trying to bring more immigrants. Yes. Why don't we look after our own people first before we continue to bring people in? And I got a feeling it was Pauline Hanson years ago saying, listen, let's pull up on these immigrants coming into our country.
Migration. Because
they're actually taking over our country. And if you go up there to Waverley, Glen Waverley, is it Jacinta Allen? Who's the premier now?
Yes,
Jacinta Allen.
Tell her to walk down the street there and then go into Box Hill and then come down Victoria Street, Richmond, in through Footscray, into Sunshine. Haven't been to Springvale yet.
No, I understand what you're saying, Doug, but the changing
but the multicultural,
face of,
it's changed
but
a lot.
The changing
Sam.
Face of society, Doug, is away from the English white Anglo-Saxons, Doug, and we our country and our city and state is enriched by immigrants coming here with their own particular
cultures and things
and foods and customs. So we have no problem with that at all, but it's
the amount, isn't it? It's
the immigrants that come that can't speak English, not required to speak English, to understand when you get on a road what a road sign means, how to drive,
how to drive.
Actually, you're on. This is not the worst drivers.
I'm not the greatest, but they are.
This
shit
has
out.
Nothing to do with. I think the word is. What's the word when you? Not racism. Not.
Jenna.
Sounds like two syllables.
Yep. When you single out a country and you do this has nothing to do with that. It is just there must be a requirement when you come in that you must have a certain standard of understanding the language of the country that you're going to, so that when notices are put out or signs are put up on a road that you're living in an English-speaking country, you can understand actually basically the first thing about getting on with people who can speak the language. This is the problem with why there's nothing wrong with the multiculturalism, Doug.
Yep.
And people gravitate to certain sections because they like to live with their own. That's fine. But when you have one set of rules for some and one set for another, and why we allow people to take over public parkland in the name of wanting to have the name changed, they want the Indigenous people want the name changed from the King's Domain to an Aboriginal name. That's fair enough. Where does that start and end? Where do we end up renaming the whole of the country just to appease a group of people that were voted no in the first place out of a plebiscite that was held? Overwhelmingly voted no. And if you drive past St Paul's Cathedral, that great cathedral on the corner of Swanson Street and Flinders Lane, they've still got the graffiti up there which says vote yes.
Do you think there's no pushback? There's no one there to say, hey, put your fire out. Yeah. It's a total fire ban day. Hey, move away.
No one's going to push back on it at all because they'll get branded as being a racist. And the most overused word in the English lexicon, if you disagree with someone from another race, you're a racist.
If you got elected as the mayor,
yep.
Tell me two or three changes you would make that would make a difference right as we speak with Sally Cap. What would you change? What would you want to go and do?
Well, what we would do is we would make sure. See, the Lord Mayor is just a titular head. It has no authority to do anything, and that's what I found out. I said, if I became or if anyone becomes the Lord Mayor, what authority do you have to change things? You have no authority to do anything because you have to side with people to get your vote through. You have to make deals with people, so all you do is just shake hands with people and cut ribbons if you're the Lord Mayor. But if in an ideal world, I would
help.
We would enforce law and order. That is, we would increase the police presence.
Boots on ground.
If that is one of the domains of the Lord Mayor, but you do that in conjunction with the police and the state government, we would find a refuge for the homeless and not allow them to sleep in doorways in the city and give it a bad name. We would. I had
graffiti.
Litter, graffiti, law and order, and I was going to meet with Brendan Nottle,
Salvation Army,
the late Bob Maguire, Les Twentyman, and we were going to take over. We were going to see if we could take over disused warehouses in the city and make them refuges for the homeless, so that there'd be one strike policy. You couldn't sleep in doorways and litter and take drugs, shoot up in the main street and live in the parks. We would give genuine refuge to people who were homeless, and that would be policed and secured by people like you, security companies, Argus, if you like, whoever you said they were. So there's plenty of things you can do, but there's just such a disregard. The city was burnt to the ground by the Andrews government over COVID. And if you have a look at what's going on overseas now with, I don't know if you've ever heard of a bloke called Anthony Fauci, but he was the man that put all the stringent requirements for COVID in. He's found to be an absolute fraud and corrupt. And that was what happened. They were fraudulent and corrupt here in the state government about COVID. And if you see what's going on about COVID and all the pushback and all the bullshit that we had to go on with, it's proven to be incorrect, placated by the mainstream media who got on the back of it at all and said, oh, no, well, you couldn't have a differing opinion about anything, because that's a conspiracy theory and it's misinformation. The amount of lies and corruption that goes on is extraordinary. And there's the government. We've got the government, people taking over Crown land and on a total fire ban day. We've got people putting cameras up people's vaginas in the name of art. And we've got climate activists just ruling the city, and people just put up with it.
And you talk about, Sam, you talk about the government, corruption and all that sort of stuff. There's a bloke, his name's, correct me, I might muck this up here, Julian Weimer?
Weimer. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Now, he was the COVID
commander. He was.
Telling us how we got to get the vaccine, we got to do this and do that. And then the next role he had, tell me I'm wrong here, he was the Commonwealth Games CEO. Like, gee, he's got a very good portfolio, this bloke. And now and I heard friends. The other day, he is now the Minister of Housing on 500 grand. That's not a job for the boys, surely, is
and,
it?
And he got the job without anyone else being interviewed for the job. Was just given a golden handshake because his job at the Commonwealth Games came to an end.
That's okay. That's a fixed term.
Given a golden handshake because the Commonwealth Games came to an abrupt end, so he was paid out and then was given a job without any other interviews. I think we're right in saying that. Or going to tender. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you, Susan.
You're welcome.
And so this is the government we're dealing with. This is the government who has the highest charges for rent, housing, fuel, energy, taxes, you name
land
it.
Land tax.
It is the highest debt of most of the states combined. $250 billion, I think our state debt is $3 billion overrun on the Westgate Tunnel complex.
How are the Libs going? How's the little prosciutto going?
Bloody hopeless, the Libs.
Would you bring Jeff Kennett back?
I'd bring Donald Trump over here.
I'm with the rug look, too. I hope the other little sleepy Joe gets
the
arse.
People
sleepy
call
Joe.
Donald Trump Hitler and Trumpy Stalin. Yep. And I notice a bloke called Nate White. He wrote a thing about why people don't like Donald Trump. It was about 8 paragraphs long. He obviously got it from AI. You couldn't write more uncomplimentary things about a person and just shows you he's winning. If you can have a bloke devote that much time to slagging Donald Trump, you know that Trump's winning.
There was never a war, Sam, when Donald Trump was in charge. There was never... Yeah. Tell me I'm wrong or right.
No, I'm telling you.
There was never a war
wrong.
Around the world when Donald was
he
in...
He had him on the run.
At Sleepy Joe, he's going to be 88 or something. He doesn't... The other day, Sam, it's a serious... and I'm more known as a character and laugh and joke and that. He got up there, Sleepy Joe, for his wife, and he said, "You know what? It's great to be here." And he looked, he didn't know where he was. He looked at her and he went, "No. Where are we?" And she said, "Pennsylvania." He said, "It's like, great to be here in Pennsylvania." Sam, he didn't know where he was.
He's a cadaver. He's
like a rock star.
He's a cadaver.
What's a cadaver?
He's dead. He's just a body. He's that means... Cadavers lie in the morgue in trays.
Look at his ear.
No, he's dead. He's gone. He's being
just
worked.
Walking dead.
Someone's got their hand up his ass and they're just working him like
like a marionette,
like a ventriloquist doll. He is.
No, like he's Jerry Rossi,
Jerry G.
You got down to his ear, Sam.
He's not. He's completely dead.
He's dead, is he?
He's dead. He's dead.
I'm not sure about that. But anyway,
poor old Kevin Rudd.
AI has taken over.
Poor old Kevin Rudd got a serve from the big Donald Trump this morning.
That's right.
The journalist said to him, "Now, what's your take on Kevin Rudd?" And he goes, "I don't know the man, but he sounds nasty. He's a nasty man, and he's a light bulb without a light."
I can't believe you said he's dead, Sam. That's amazing. Sleepy Joe.
He's mentally retarded. Well, I use the term in its correct meaning. He is mentally retarded. He has no idea what he's saying, where he is, who he is. He is a complete and utter fuckwit.
He's got a good set of shoes on him, though.
Yeah, they've had to give him shoes so he can keep his balance. They've got some new. issued him with some special shoes that makes you not overbalance. Keeps you, is that
Look
right?
Got the wide sole.
Sponsored by Bridgestone.
Coming down the stairs, he doesn't climb up the main stairway at Air Force One because he can't climb up all the stairs without falling over. He climbs up the little baby stairs at the back, where all the hosties and all the staff go. Because he can't climb up the whole... This is the man running. This is the man running. He's not in charge of anything. He's not even in charge of his bowels.
Is Michael Obama running it?
Michael.
That's Michelle. Sorry.
No, I
apologise. I got mixed up a little bit then.
No, I know. I appreciate the Freudian slip, which was done on purpose. No, Michael Obama's not doing there. And Barry... Barry and Michael,
Barry Michael,
husband and husband team,
Barry,
they're running the show.
Geez, what about Hillary? She going to run there, or Hillary Clinton?
She's just trying to keep Bill in check, I reckon.
Joe, Barry, and Hillary—they're the three people. They're the most disgraceful, corrupt, dishonest. Anyhow, so that's what's going on there. Yep. You might. The more they keep calling Trump Stalin and Hitler, and he's going to. The more that's people love it because.
Been very good. This.
Have we mentioned about
Julian
yesterday?
Who?
No.
I tell you what we'll do. We're going to come back because we've got a few more things to speak about, Dave. I notice we'll speak about this. I just ask you to ponder this in the break. A bloke fell out of a hot air balloon the other day.
That's in Preston.
How in God's name would you fall out of a hot air balloon? I'll just leave you with that thought because I've been on a few hot air balloons and the most boring thing you can do besides that, maybe he jumped out because he thought, shit, how boring is this? So that's the end of it. We're coming back in a minute. What am I doing?
Hit the button, boss.
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because